You're listening to Valley Edition. Most Valley residents don't know the name Bill Patenaude, but it's likely many, if not most, have experienced his work. From the shimmering stainless steel of Fresno City Hall to the massive concrete forms of the Fresno State Madden Library, his work stands out as iconic buildings on the Valley landscape. His legacy is in the minds of many who knew him, as he passed away last Friday at the age of 78. What better time, then, to discuss his architecture and legacy than on today's program? We have two guests with us today, Paul Halajian, principal of Paul Halajian Architects in Fresno. Paul, welcome.
Good to be here, Joe.
Paul, and you have assumed the mantle that Bill once held as leading architecture at Fresno State as the university's master architect. Also joining us today is Shant Yemenjian, another architect with Paul's firm. Shant, welcome to Valley Edition also.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
I want to talk about Bill's work today because it's touched so many lives in our community in ways that I think a lot of people don't realize or don't think about all that often. Certainly Fresno City Hall is at the top of the list when you think of Bill's work and iconic buildings in the Valley, but this is also a building that when it debuted in 1992, the LA Times came to town. They did a big write-up about it, and people in Fresno didn't really know what to make of it. Some people called it a spaceship. Other people called it evocative of the Sierra Nevada. Other people said it looks like a sardine can. What was he trying to accomplish, really making a statement with a building unlike anything else in town? Paul, I'll let you start out.
I think fundamentally what Bill was trying to do was elevate the character of the city. And obviously a city hall is iconic of any city. And I think Bill took the opportunity to raise the bar, to do something that maybe the world wouldn't expect from Fresno, to have a building that took its place among global architecture anywhere else and could stand on its own. And I think he did a great job doing that.
And it was certainly also a collaborative process as well, working with the famed Canadian architect Arthur Erickson. Shant, we were talking about this ahead of time a little bit, and is it okay that a building sometimes maybe gets a negative reaction like that? Isn't that what sometimes an artist or an architect wants to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think getting a reaction, negative or positive, is a sign that there's something there. There are some ideas there that people are responding to. And so I think the fact that it's actually caused people to form a reaction and form an opinion, I think is that, to me, that's kind of the definition of architecture, is that it needs to get people to have a response to what's been built and what's been designed.
It's also interesting how attitudes towards architecture, which is such a permanent form, and it's with us every day, how attitudes can change and evolve over time. Do you think we've seen an evolution of embrace of a building like that?
Well, I think so. I mean, you see it a lot more prominently featured in, you know, marketing stuff and things that Fresno's doing to attract people and put a positive image of the city out there. Bill actually, interestingly enough, kind of characterized in that time in 92, 93 when the press was starting to put stuff out there about what this building means and what it is, there was a lot of kind of negative attention. And he sort of likened it to the Transamerica building in San Francisco, which actually did get a very negative reaction. And the architect was, you know, very kind of taken aback by it and took time to trust that what he had done was actually going to make a difference, and look at what the Transamerica is as an icon for San Francisco. So I think we're slowly moving towards that. I think City Hall is playing that role for the city.
Paul, what do you think about that? As attitudes change and as we embrace something, as an architect, you have to be thinking way out ahead of a lot of trends and conventional wisdom.
I think that's true. That's one of the things architects are entrusted with, kind of the guardians of our communities in terms of the physical character of it. Another example, I think, of what Shant described is the Eiffel Tower. People hated the Eiffel Tower when it was built. In fact, the original plan was to have it destroyed in, I think, 20 years, something like that. And now it's become the icon of one of the greatest cities in the world. So there's a great kind of, you know, history of iconic buildings that maybe were panned when they were first built. They elevate themselves and they become beloved images of the city. And I really think City Hall is on that path.
for every Frank Gehry that's out there that gains international stardom, there's hundreds or thousands of other architects working at a very high level, doing great work that don't gain that fame or fortune. Somebody like Bill Patenaude, recognized at the highest levels of his profession, a fellow of the American Institute of Architects. He received the Lifetime Achievement Award from your chapter here locally. Does his work speak about a larger excellence in Valley architecture, do you feel?
Yeah, most certainly. I think when Bill was practicing throughout his entire career, his work, I think, elevated everyone around him. I think if you were going to do work in Fresno, the standard bearer was Lewin Patenaude. And Bill, more recently, I think, carried the torch to elevate what we do, not only in terms of design, but in terms of how things go together, how things relate to the larger context. I think he thought about urban design. He thought about how cities or how buildings shape the city. I think Bill elevated everything, and he's been a great person for the rest of us to sort of emulate in terms of how we care about our city with regard to architecture.
I want to move on to some other buildings now, as we do that, kind of underscore an issue here that I think is interesting, because City Hall is something of a one-off. There really isn't anything else like it, I don't think, out of his work that's relatively close along those lines stylistically. He did a lot of different types of work, both working with Alan Liu and himself, looking at Fresno State, the Madden Library, vastly different from the Fresno City Hall. Other buildings at Fresno State, like the Student Union, also very different. Did he have an identifiable style?
I think it can be said that Bill was a modernist, and he was a classic modernist. So He didn't go along with sort of the trends of the day. He believed in the original tenets of modernism, and his work can be described as classic because it wasn't something that he conjured up out of his own sort of mind. He was a student of architecture. He studied it, and he knew how to design within the framework of modernism. So I think Bill was definitely a modernist, and he was a good one.
So, Sean, let's turn to the Madden Library now. This is really another unique building in Fresno, probably the best example of a particular style that often gets negative connotations to it in this term that's thrown out there called brutalism. And it comes from the original French term that references the raw concrete. But this is a massive building. And we're talking about what is now the old wing of the Madden Library.
Right.
There's since been the new glassy addition on the north side. But this is the south wing of the library, four stories tall, massive concrete forms. This also really makes a statement. What do you think is special about that building, Sean?
I think what makes that building special is a lot of what we've sort of been talking in the last few minutes is that it is a good example of modernism. And you know, it's to not get too deep into it, brutalism. So modernism sort of spawned brutalism. It's that period from, you know, the 50s, the 70s, when we were looking at the sort of human quality of buildings. And so, yes, it is for shame that the term brutalism takes away its intended, you know, the intent of it, which was actually to make it more human and more raw in its natural form, but I think that's a perfect example. You can almost sort of teach modernism and mid-century modernism with the Student Union and the Madden Library. The clarity of form, structure, the walls that are doing its load bearing are separate from where the window and the glazing is. The rawness, the purity of the concrete. There's no paint. There's no decoration. It's a really clean, sort of simple example of modernism. I mean, the form is very clear.
Also, it has to be interesting designing on a university campus. So many times we think of universities as very traditional spaces. I was just on the campus of USC, and I see they're putting up new buildings that look like they would be old buildings. Bill didn't necessarily do that, but he did make some subtle references to maybe traditional forms. He used the sort of brick that you might find on a traditional campus in a new way or something like that. Also making a statement with that sort of decision.
Yeah, that's true. I think Bill had a real respect for the fabric of that campus. I think he was the buildings he did were great interventions to kind of, again, elevate things. But I think he did it in a respectful way. He was trying to um, he he was trying to respect that, for example, the library, it's a storehouse of knowledge on that university. It's one of the main buildings. And I think the very bold, almost aggressive form he put there, it's appropriate for a building that has such an important impact on a campus.
He also worked, as I mentioned briefly, very closely with his business partner, Alan Liu, who was a very influential architect, Chinese-American architect that also gained national recognition. His collaboration with him includes the Fresno State Student Union. Sean, I know you're a big fan of that building, also very different from the Madden Library, although he is using concrete, but he's using it in a different way. It's a little more of an elegant expression with that building. You say that you think that also typifies another example of his vision of transparency and the importance of transparency.
Yeah, and I think what Bill and his partner at the time were doing was paying attention to, first of all, you know, kind of what Paul mentioned, is what role this building plays on the campus. And so it's at the core of the campus. So it is, in the almost a literal sense, the living room of the campus. And so the idea that transparency will have a more inviting effect and bring people in off the, you know, the sort of axes of the campus into this space, which is not necessarily an academic space. It's a space where people, you know, are cramming or studying or having a coffee on, you know, in between classes. So I think he realized that. He realized what the location and the role of this building on the campus is. And also, I think they were paying attention to the sort of zeitgeist, I guess, of the time, the notion that, you know, Vietnam, you know, Kennedy and all the stuff that was taking place, and this idea of democracy and transparency as this is the school, this is what, you know, this is where the student body is, and you know, the democratic process is on display for everybody to see. I think that was embodied in this work, and I've read that was actually one of the core elements that they actually had to sort of advocate for as part of this project.
It's also really interesting, this visually, and looking at the building at night, as I see a photo here that you have in front of you, especially witnessing that in person. It's almost like a little architectural trick. Not the ground floor, the middle floor is all glass, and it almost seems when it's illuminated at night that that upper floor, which is mainly concrete and some windows up there, almost seems like that is floating above that main lobby area. Kind of a little architectural trick.
Correct. Yeah, that's true. That's I think, again, another back to the tenets of modernism. That's one of the kind of precepts of mid-century modernism is to express structure in its purest form. So it's not a load-bearing wall building. It's a series of columns, and it's freeing up the ground plane and allowing the interior and the exterior of the building to sort of flow through that very transparent perimeter, as Sean mentioned.
We're talking about the life and work of the late Fresno architect Bill Patnod, who passed away on Friday. I understand the AIA, the local chapter, is going to be honoring Bill at an upcoming event.
Yes, we just had a conversation actually yesterday with Julie Chips, who's the president of the local AIA chapter, and she mentioned that the wheels are already in motion about actually piggybacking on Architecture Week and doing a more formal sort of celebration of Bill, his career, and his work. And we're actually talking with the university about possibly doing it at the Student Union. We would like to do it in one of his buildings, and that's one of the ones that we felt was a good representation. So, yeah, details should be coming shortly on that.
Paul, if people want more information about the local AIA and what you do a lot of outreach and other events. Is there a website or something that people can go to?
Yes, you can go to the AIASJ, that's AIA San Joaquin website. Architecture Week, as Sean mentioned, is coming up. It's the week of April 15th. There'll be events throughout the week, culminating with the AIA Design Awards program, which will take place at the old historic administration building at Fresno City College. So there'll probably be some more information about Bill's life and his work at that event as well.
We've been talking with Paul Halajian, the principal of Paul Halajian Architects in Fresno, and Sean Yemenjian, who is also an architect with the firm, about the life and work of the late Bill Patnod today. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.